This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
The general manager of the Jets, Joe Douglas, joins us now after dealing with the print media on a Zoom call.
Oh,
Joe,
print, the worst.
It's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
I'm good. Now I'm ready for the real fastball.
There you go.
Here we go. Let's be
warm-ups
Leslie
out of the way.
Are you shocked that this team is as bad as it is? Is there any way that you envision that there would be so much of a struggle this year?
No. I am totally shocked of where we are right now. I didn't see this coming out. I think my comments at the end of training camp conveyed that. I said it to the media. I wasn't disingenuous at all. I was very optimistic about where we're at training camp, and I'm sitting here 8 weeks in, and we're trying to be solution oriented on what we didn't see, how did we get to this point, and try to find the answers.
All right. So what? I don't know if you got them listed 1 through 10, but what is the number one biggest concern where you think you got it wrong?
Look, I mean, there's a lot of things, I don't think there's one single thing that I think it's a, unfortunately, it's a accumulation of a lot of things, and there's a lot we have to do better, whether it's it's everything. I'm trying to focus on what I could have done better in me, and what did we do in the off season? What didn't we do in the off season? More like it, in terms of surrounding our quarterback with weapons. Obviously, we haven't been able to have continuity on our offense, and it's not an excuse. The three starting wideouts that we had envisioned for the year, they haven't been able to get on the field together once. We've only had our starting five offensive linemen on the field together for three games, and so and then Sam's missed time. So it's been a struggle for continuity, and I put the blame on myself for not having the right depth in here. What we did wrong, what I didn't do to see these rash injuries coming, to stay ahead of it with our strength conditioning and medical team. So there's been a deep dive on a lot of things.
Joe, at some point, you've got to keep your best players, and you have systematically, on this roster alone, gotten rid of your most talented people: Jamal Adams, Avery Williamson, McClendon, Le'Veon Bell. At some point, a team has to keep its players, so why are these guys being dispatched? I know the last two guys I mentioned, they're going to be free agents at the end of the year, but why didn't you guys try to sign Jamal Adams? And I was sickened by what he did on Twitter, too, but I just feel that if you had given him the money, he would have stayed. So at some point, you have to keep the talent on your team.
Yeah, I think for where we were, we didn't think that giving him the money was the right solution long term. I don't think we were in the position to give him what he wanted when he wanted it. And I think that's why what happened. Ultimately, that wasn't the reason we traded him. The reason we traded him is a team came out of nowhere and made a tremendous offer on a tremendous player. And it was an offer that we thought, with where we were at the time, that for us to get to where we need to be, we need to build a foundation of draft picks. So Jamal was a very good draft pick. And so hopefully we were able to turn Jamal into multiple good draft picks. But, I need to be judged on those picks when we make them.
Joe, what are we not seeing about what Coach Gase is doing? Because watching week to week, we're not seeing inventive play calling. And although the roster hasn't been great, a lot of us just aren't seeing it. What are we missing that you think Coach Gase is doing well?
Look, this is not all on Coach Gase. Again, I talked about some of the things that I haven't done well enough. And, we certainly all share responsibility in this. When teams attack our offense the same way, which I think they've been doing the same way almost all year, There's a deficiency that needs to be addressed, and so we're continuing to get press covered. We're continuing to get stunts in fronts or stunts and blitzes, and so I need to make sure we have guys, that can make explosive plays, that can be 3-point shooters for us, and have short drives. And so, I've got to bring those players in.
But Robbie Anderson, he's having quite a year in Carolina, and from what I know, from what was reported, I could be wrong, Joe, that there was a minuscule difference in value in what he got from Carolina and what you supposedly were going to offer him. Why did you let him get away, and do you regret it now?
Yeah, obviously, Robbie's having a great season. I have a ton of respect for Robbie, really like Robbie. And obviously, it's hard to be sitting here and watching Robbie have that success somewhere else, first off. I look back at what I did wrong, what I could have done better, I should say. I think our team did a great job of forecasting the market for a lot of positions last year. I think we overshot the wide receiver market. I think we expected Robbie to really garner a lot more offers and a lot more money than he did. So when that didn't materialize, we were a little bit caught off guard by that, and that's on me. And so I've got to learn from that, because obviously you don't want to be in the business of letting good players, good homegrown players, leave your team.
No, we were
Joe,
talking.
Everybody.
But I'll say this before you ask the next question. He's struggled with injuries, but we felt good about what Rashad Perriman would bring, and so he's getting healthy. He unfortunately had a concussion last week that he missed the game. He had explosive plays at the end of the Miami game, and so we need to get him on the field. We need to get him on the field with Jameson. We need to get him on the field with Denzel. We need to create some kind of continuity at the offensive skill position. Sorry to interrupt your next question.
That's all right. We're talking with Joe Douglas, the Jets general manager. Joe, every person, forget about what Michael, Don, and Peter say. Every single person with connections to the NFL that we have on the show, expert, so to speak, say that Adam Gase is the problem with the Jets. He's a terrible coach. Then that's the reason that Sam Darnold has taken steps backward, that you cannot grow under Adam Gase. Is there any validity to that? And I'll ask you straight out, why does Adam still have a job?
I don't see validity in that. Again, I'm going to go back. This is not all on Adam, I've got to do a better job of bringing in the players that can help him. So, look, I want to fix this with him, and I'm going to do everything in my power to help him.
But what is it about him that you like? What are you seeing that we're not seeing? Beyond the fact that he doesn't have a lot of talent, but where do you see a coach that deserves to keep his job?
Well, I think when he was calling plays early in the year, I think that he did do a good job in terms of calling the right play against the right defense. The execution wasn't there. I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. I think we just haven't been able, whether it's continuity, whether it's only having our offensive line together for three games, whether it's having almost a different wide receiver group every week, the time we miss with Sam. I think there's a lot of reasons for us being where we are right now, and I don't think it all falls on one person.
So would you say, though, because the Jets felt that 6-2 close last year was something. It meant something moving forward. Can we now look back and see that 6-2 close last year as fool's gold?
I felt the same way as you guys, and I said it multiple times. And obviously, we are where we are right now, and we hate where we are right now. But again, everyone in the building has to own it, and we have to do everything we can individually to try to make it better. And I know that there hasn't been any quit in this locker room despite all the negativity, and it's important for us to keep that mindset, to try to get better every day, to try to string good practices together, good quarters together. And I think you did see it the last 2 weeks. We've been able to put two good first halves together. We haven't been able to carry it to the second half offensively. So we have to that's the next progression that we need to have. We need to have a full game instead of a good half.
Now, I don't want to belabor this point, but it is the foremost thing on your fan base's minds. And I'm not a guy who thinks that anybody should run a team according to what fans say, because fans don't have the long view, they have the short view. But your fan base does not like this coach to any extent whatsoever, and they almost feel, all right, let's get through the season, and it's a fait accompli, he's going to be gone. And Joe, I'm going to ask you, because I'm just trying to listen to your question, your answers. It doesn't seem like it's a fait accompli. He's going to be gone, even if you guys are 0-16.
Yeah, I mean, look, I said it before. Like my hope is that we can fix this problem together. And it's easy to pick on one person, you know, and it's easy to pick on the head coach. It's easy to pick on the quarterback. I mean, I think those are convenient targets, but it's all of us. It's all of us. And, you know, the goal is to fix this all together.
It's frustrating for us, Joe, because we like talking to you and you're very open and honest. We talk to you. We talk to Sam every Monday. Sam says it's on him. You're saying it's on you. I just don't know when is it okay to blame the coach, right? I mean, it's you're the worst team in football. Period. And at least you've only had 1 year here. He's been a coach in this league for 5 years, went to the playoffs once. Including four straight years of missing the playoffs. So why is there no accountability on the coach? Sam says it's on him. You say it's on you. When are we going to hear that it's on Gase, or at least responsibility to the head coach?
Look, I'm not going to sit here and blame or point fingers at anybody. So I need to look in the mirror, and I need to focus on what I can do better, and I have to get as many great people, great players as I can to help this organization. And I know that there are a ton of good people here, and so we're working together. We're working together to do that. We're sitting here right now, and we have a group of rookies that weren't on the field together playing football until October 21st. Okay, and again, that's on me to make sure that I'm working with the strength conditioning staff and medical staff to get these guys healthy, to stay out in front of soft tissue injuries. But we have a group of rookies that got on the field together October 21st to show a lot of promise, and we're trying to develop these guys and progress these guys over the next 8 games. We have 9 picks in next year's draft. We have 9 picks in the 2022 draft. Of those picks, 8 of those picks are top 3 rounds. So there is a reason. There is a silver lining. It's unfortunate that we are where we are, but we have to be in the player development business. I have to look in the mirror. We have to be the best individual player development team in the National Football League moving forward with all this draft capital, with all these picks, and that's my sole focus right now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Joe, has Sam gotten a fair shot? Do you think Sam Darnold's gotten a fair opportunity to prove what he's capable of?
This year, Sam has, I mean, like I said, we haven't had our top 3 receivers on the field. We've had a mix and match of offensive linemen. And Sam is the definition of toughness and grit. And like you said, you know, he says it's on him, but it's the continuity hasn't been there. It's not fair to sit here and make any snap judgment on Sam Darnold with what we've had this year. So my feelings on Sam, they haven't changed since when I got here. Sam's going to be a hell of a quarterback in this league. He's 23 years old. He gets better every day. We need to develop continuity around him. We need to surround him with players.
You might be faced with quite a – you have a lot of decisions you're going to have to make, but if your team does go 0-16 or 1-15, they're going to be two projected outstanding quarterbacks staring you in the face. Are you committed to staying with Sam, or is it something that could change if you do have the first or second pick?
I do think I'm not even really thinking about – I'm not going that far into draft strategy or talking about college players. I do think Sam Darnold is the quarterback of the future for this team. I do think that. I think he's – like I said, he's a 23-year-old quarterback that does improve. We need to surround him with better players, and that's on me.
There also seems to be, Joe, and you're always honest with us, that when a new GM comes in, he wants to rid himself of everything that the old GM had. Well, the old GM is McCagnan's. It's not the old quarterback is McCagnan's. I mean, is it important for a GM to get rid of everybody that the guy had? Because systematically, it seems like that's what you're doing, getting rid of all of McCagnan's players. So has that come into play?
No, I didn't walk in here and say, this is my guy, this is someone else's guy. I mean, as soon as I walked in here, it was like, these are our guys. Like, we're going to do everything we can to help these guys. So since I've been here, we've tried to evaluate every person, regardless of who brought them in here, and determine if they have if they fit in our long-term plans. So, I would not say that, any decisions have been made based on this was my guy or this was his guy.
The way that it's always been by committee, right, Joe? You talk to Chris Johnson. Adam Gase talks to Chris Johnson. When this season is over, who has the ultimate call on who the head coach is, what you're going to do in the draft? Do you have that ultimate call, or is it still by committee when a decision like that is made?
In the draft, we worked together. I think we had a great process, even though we were working through the pandemic and we were doing all these meetings via Zoom. It was a great collaboration with our entire staff to come up with the players that we thought could best help us moving forward.
Well, let me phrase it this way, because I'm getting back to Gase and just decisions. I mean, are you attached at the hip with Adam, or can you give an honest evaluation of his performance if asked by Chris Johnson?
Well, no, I mean, ultimately, the decision on either one of us is on Christopher. So, we haven't even had discussions about what you guys are talking about.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you when you did it. Why move Le'Veon Bell?
I think the Le'Veon decision, that was a decision where we got to the point after that particular game, and it was, I think it's best for both parties. If we go our separate ways, it's best for Le'Veon if he gets a fresh start elsewhere. And I really respect Le'Veon. I had a ton of good conversations with him over the last 2 years. And I think it was at the point where, it's not going to work out here. Let's get you an opportunity somewhere else. We couldn't get a trade done, so we just got to the point we gave ourselves a deadline. If we don't get a trade done here, done by this point, we're gonna let Le'Veon go and give him an opportunity to go elsewhere. And he's in Kansas City now.
All right. So since he's in Kansas City, maybe now the truth can be told, and maybe you know the answer to this. Is it true that Gase wanted no part of Le'Veon Bell and McCagnan signed him on his own?
Yeah, I mean, that was well before I even set foot in this building, so I'm not privy to that process and, how that all came to be.
But did Gase tell you he liked him here, or if you could move him, move him?
No, Adam did everything. I feel like Adam did everything he could to make this relationship work. I know when I first got here, he showed me the cut-ups of all of his best runs from Pittsburgh. And, based on his feedback from Le'Veon, and I know that was a big part of what he was doing moving into training camp last year.
Is this harder than you thought it was going to be when you took this job? Is this a bigger build than you thought it was going to be?
No. I think I went in this with eyes wide open. I knew that I know there was the focus was going to be, look, I said it with the media guys. I'll say it here. Like, if you look at any successful organization, no matter the sport, you know, the focus is on drafting and developing. You're not going to have long. You're not going to have sustained success without that. So, you know, I feel like the last 2 years we've worked to try to heal ourselves financially, if that makes sense. I think we're on our way to doing that. And right now, like I told you guys, we have to draft better. We have to draft better. We have to develop these guys, and we have to keep these guys. And I think with the picks we had last year, with the picks we have coming up in the next 2 years, I mean, this is a huge time frame for us in terms of we have to hit on these draft picks. These guys have to be the foundation of our franchise moving forward, and we have to do everything in our power to develop them both on and off the field.
When you talk about drafting better and just redoing this roster, how is there any timetable? Like, how long do you think this could take before we start seeing better football?
Look, I'm excited about this draft class. I think the last couple of weeks have given you something to be excited about. And again, we're looking at 9 picks next year, 9 picks after that. So there's going to be a real influx of young talent. And you know, we've also given ourselves some financial flexibility with the moves we've made over the last year and a half, so that if the right opportunity does present itself in free agency or trade, we can be involved in those discussions. So I don't want to put a time frame on exactly when, but we've got a ton of good people. We've got a lot of ammunition in the draft, and you know, we're really excited about this.
All right, I'm told that you have to go. One quick question before you leave. The last 8 games, will they decide whether or not Sam Darnold's here next year?
Look, I think Sam's, like I said, I think Sam is the quarterback of the future. So I'm not going to put that on the next 8 games. I think everything in the next 8 games is going to be on progress. Progress from our young guys, progress from our veteran guys, progress from everybody. You know, we need to do everything better. We need to do simple better. So that's the focus over the next 8 games.
Joe, thank you for being so willing to take the questions. We appreciate it. Good luck moving forward.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.